Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Where did the Book of Abraham come from? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. In yesterday's show, we introduced a new essay that has been posted by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on its official website, LDS.org. It's an essay titled Translation and Historicity of the Book of Abraham. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about the essay and what it's trying to address, but today we felt to give you a little bit more of a background regarding the Book of Abraham, which is found in the Pearl of Great Price, which is a portion of Mormon scripture.
And I just want to add on to that, Bill, that we have a whole response to that essay, point by point. We quote the whole essay, and then we give our observations as to what the essay is all about. But if you want to go to that, it's on mrm.org/Book of Abraham Essay, with hyphens between Book of Abraham Essay, each of those words. And if you go there, we'll also put it on the front of our page so that people can access that. So if you really want to go deep, you can go there. We're not going to be able to get as deep as that article is on these shows, because we can only do so much without confusing a lot of people out there. This is a complicated topic.
It is. There's no doubt about that. But it's an important topic because, as we mentioned yesterday, it is the Book of Abraham that has caused many members of the LDS Church to abandon their faith in Joseph Smith. Not only Joseph Smith, but the Book of Mormon and the entire Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If this is an issue that is causing them concern, then I think it's important for us as Christians to be at least a little bit acquainted with what the Book of Abraham is all about, so we can keep up to speed and maybe challenge our LDS acquaintances on what it contains. Now, we would like to look at a little bit of the background of the Book of Abraham. Where did it come from? What is the Book of Abraham's genesis? To do this, we're going to be looking at the Encyclopedia of Mormonism. The Encyclopedia of Mormonism was published back in the 1990s, but it's a Mormon rendition of a lot of aspects of Mormonism. And so in Volume 1, there's a section that deals specifically with the Book of Abraham, talks about its origins, talks about its translation, and things like that. So this is an explanation of the Book of Abraham as it is found in a Mormon publication. So it's not our overview of it. This is actually the overview as been given by Mormon authors who contributed to the Encyclopedia of Mormonism. This is what it says.
The entry starts off by saying, "The Book of Abraham autobiographically recounts Abraham's early years and is one of the texts in the LDS scriptural collection titled Pearl of Great Price."
Okay, so it's saying that it's part of its unique text, so we've already discussed that, we understand that, but then it goes on to talk about the origins.
Origin of the Book of Abraham. In July 1835, while living in Kirtland, Ohio, the prophet Joseph Smith purchased on behalf of the church four Egyptian mummies and accompanied papyri from Michael H. Chandler, a traveling entrepreneur from Pennsylvania. The price was $2,400. Chandler had acquired 11 mummies in early 1833 and had sold the other seven in the eastern United States prior to meeting Joseph Smith. Shortly after obtaining the antiquities, Joseph Smith announced that the papyri contained some writings of the patriarchs Abraham and Joseph, both who had lived in Egypt, and that's from Genesis chapter 12, 37 and 39 through 50.
So the controversy there begins when it talks about some writings. Is, are we talking about the actual writings of Abraham himself, the actual writings of Joseph himself? Because there's a phrase that's used, by his own hand upon papyrus. That's a phrase that we find in this.
And by his hands, referring to
Abraham. Mm-hmm. So we are given the impression that what Joseph Smith had in his hand was an ancient text that goes back thousands of years to the time of the patriarch Abraham, and that he actually wrote at least portions of what we have in this Papyri. Now, that's not what the Mormon Church says today. They know better than to say that now.
And the encyclopedia says this: according to some Egyptologists, the writings of Abraham acquired by Joseph Smith are to be dated to the early Christian era.
Yeah, so that would prove right there that there's no way that this could have been written by the patriarch Abraham. So a Mormon would argue that even though it says that it's the writings of Abraham, they don't want you to draw that conclusion that Abraham himself actually did the writing on the papyri that Joseph Smith had in his possession. Can you imagine what an incredible find that would be to have the autograph collection of Abraham's writing? We don't even have that for the New Testament.
Well, we don't have it for Genesis either. And so we would, if that were the case, we would have to take the book of Abraham over Genesis, even the parts that basically are the same from the book of Abraham, seemingly copied out of Genesis, but updating it in a way that you get from the original, we don't have with Genesis.
What does the Encyclopedia of Mormonism have to say about this? Go on.
It says, as far as the translation and publication of the book of Abraham on October 10th, 1880, in a general conference, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints voted to accept the Book of Abraham as a scriptural work. And it goes on and says, it is certain that Joseph Smith began working in Kirtland, Ohio, on the relevant Egyptian papyri soon after purchasing them from Michael H. Chandler in 1835.
Now, let's go back to the essay. We've gotten a little background from the Encyclopedia of Mormonism, so we brought our listeners, hopefully, at least partially up to speed, because as you've mentioned, this is a complex issue. But we go back to the essay. Yesterday, we looked at the very first sentence where it talks about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints embraces the Book of Abraham as scripture. And you talked about that word embrace, and we question the use of that word. I can understand why the church has to use a word like that, because they need to give the impression that the church stands behind this for what it has always claimed it to be. But you and I both agree that because it's so rarely ever mentioned now in modern times, especially in general conference messages, and don't get me wrong, folks, it's not that this thing has been ignored entirely. We do find articles occasionally on it. But really, when was the last time you heard in a general conference message where they were referring to what Joseph Smith said in the Book of Abraham? I can't recall anything recently.
Well, I think the Book of Abraham is kind of like that snag in your sweater, where if you just start pulling and tugging at it, the whole thing can come unraveled. And it's, as we mentioned yesterday, to tie in the Book of Mormon with this, because if the Book of Abraham isn't true, then it would have to go in line with the Book of Mormon. And Joseph Smith was not actually doing any proper translation in the historical sense of the term.
Well, how could he? The Rosetta Stone wasn't discovered until, 1799?
Right.
And there were no experts in Egyptology in the United States during Joseph Smith's time. If there were any experts at all, they were over in Europe. Well, with the discovery of the Rosetta Stone, this all starts to change. And now, because of the stone, having the three types of language on it, the Greek, the Demotic, and the hieroglyphic Egyptian, now they can break the code, if you will, and now we can understand what the Egyptian hieroglyphics were actually saying. Joseph Smith could not have known that at that time.
And there was nobody who could double check him either. He could say whatever this meant, and you would have to accept it at face value. Okay, I guess that's what it meant. If you're a prophet who must be able to understand languages, then it must be true.
Now, going back to the Encyclopedia of Mormonism, what does it say about the translation?
It says it was principally divine inspiration rather than his knowledge of languages that produced the English text of the Book of Abraham. His precise methodology remains unknown.
Divine inspiration. Now, what does that mean to a Latter-day Saint? They know that Joseph Smith did not have the education to understand the Egyptian, as a scholar today would understand the Egyptian. They admit this. But they will say that it was translated by a divine inspiration. In other words, Joseph Smith, though he didn't have the education that was necessary to do what we understand to be a traditional translation of the text, was somehow given the ability by God to translate a language he did not know into English. And in talking with many Latter-day Saints, they are led to believe, or at least were led to believe, that this is an English rendition of what was on the papyrus. Now, the Mormon Church is kind of getting away from that because they know that what Joseph Smith said in English is not at all what was on the papyrus that he had in his possession.
And the essay would agree completely with the encyclopedia. It all boils down to the presupposition that Joseph Smith is a true prophet of God. If you believe that he's a true prophet of God, then he must then have the ability to take a text, and out of that, God gives him the ability to write whatever truths need to be given.
If a Mormon did not believe that to be the case, then why are so many Mormons shaken when they start finding out that the English they have in the Book of Abraham is not what was on the papyrus?
Before the show started, we were speculating, you and I, Bill, about how many Latter-day Saints really know what translation means in the case here. And we just see from the encyclopedia as well as this essay, they're admitting that it's not the type of translation most people think of. I think most Latter-day Saints, if you question them on the street, are going to say, yes, he took the words of Abraham and he put it right into English. But that's not what the leaders are saying. That's not what their scholars are saying.
Yeah, really, what does a divine inspiration really mean when it comes to translation? It really has no meaning whatsoever. In other words, what we can gather from both the essay and the article in the Encyclopedia of Mormonism is Joseph Smith really didn't even need the papyrus, just like he really didn't need the gold plates. Because remember, the accounts of Joseph Smith translating the gold plates that became the Book of Mormon, his contemporaries talk about Joseph Smith having a seer stone, a rock that he found while digging a well with his brother Hiram, and he puts the rock into a hat, draws the hat closely to his face to exclude the light. In the darkness, the spiritual light would shine. He would read characters off the rock to his scribe. He would read them back. If correct, they would go on to the next set of characters. My question is where in the world are the gold plates in all this? He didn't need them.
This is a snag in the sweater.
He didn't need the gold plates to give us the Book of Mormon any more than he needed this papyrus to give us the Book of Abraham.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.